Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful weekend.
Yep.
Somebody had two weekends.
Well, can't help being sick.
No.
I think I would have rather been on the show.
I certainly hope so.
It felt like dying.
So we have something awesome to report this week.
Do tell.
We have two iTunes reviews.
Do we now?
We do. First one, short and sweet, to the point, 5 stars, by MJ Shepherd. Catching the news bites that don't often make it to the mainstream, dealing with the seemingly never-ending trouble with keeping church and state separate. Interesting, entertaining, and quick while not feeling rushed.
Nice.
I practiced that one.
I was going to say, I hope so, because that's kind of a tongue twister for you.
Yeah.
But no, that's cool.
I'll let you read the next one.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I can't even see that. No.
Love It, 5 stars, by West Coast Brian. A great show to keep up on what's happening in the atheist community. Thanks, guys. MJ Shepherd and West Coast Brian. We love our iTunes reviews.
Yes, our, what, first ones?
Four. That's number
oh,
four.
Oh, that's four? Okay. That's four. It just goes to show what I know, huh?
Yeah, you don't keep up with any of the cool stuff like I do.
Yes, because I'm not the techno-computer person like you are.
Doesn't matter. We also have Twitter followers.
Yay.
We have Wow for the peace sign.
Oh, creative.
Jeff Adler, Sister Danger, Ben A. Sawyers, Billy Arrow, Charles Harbison, Am Suha, Caitlin Kane, Michelle McGlade, and surprisingly enough, the Holy Bible.
Wow, we have a book following us.
A book, yeah.
That's what makes me think of.
Weird.
Well, all is welcome, so I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more the merrier.
Who knows?
It works for me.
And we do have an announcement from the Secular Outreach Network.
All righty.
We have our first blogger to join the network.
Oh, okay.
Secular Scarlet is a very opinionated and Gnostic atheist, and although a history buff, will more often than not be discussing atheism and religion around the world. Her blog is a mix of archaeology, atheism, culture, and a lot of other awesome stuff.
I like that. Yeah. That's cool. I like history, so that's
yeah,
cool.
I really look forward to seeing a lot more of her stuff. I'm trying to read some of her older stuff. She has a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A few years worth of blogging.
Oh, wow.
It'll take a while to get through all that.
Yeah.
And if you want, you can find her on Twitter at Secular Scarlet or on her website, secularscarlet.wordpress.com.
Cool. Welcome, welcome.
Yes.
And if you're a podcaster, vlogger, blogger, or any sort of content creator and want to be a part of the Secular Outreach Network, go to secularoutreach.com to find out how to join.
Cool. Yeah, everybody, if you're any of those things, it's a really cool network to be in. We do a lot of good talking online. Someone doesn't understand that part.
Are you talking to me?
No.
Nay, nay.
No, there's a lot of those guys are good because we got Waiting for Wrath. In the Name of God, the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got Paranormal Skeptics Academy.
Can you say that? Are you sure?
Paranormal Skeptics blah, 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 blah. Academy.
Uh-huh.
We've got, I listen to all of them. Atheist Apocalypse, The Q, and now we have Secular Scarlet.
I'm actually surprised how you keep half the stuff you do straight. I mean, for so many different things that you have in your head with all the different things you do, I couldn't keep it straight.
It's called multiple personality.
I'd call it something else.
Anyway.
Yes, please.
We have an update from last week.
Oh, do we now?
If you listened to the show last week.
Which I know I haven't done it yet.
You heard us talk about the Phoenix City Council and the proposed prayer from the Satanic Temple. Well, we have an audio update.
Cool.
A controversial vote tonight in Phoenix. The city council will not allow a satanic prayer at an upcoming meeting. Instead, there will be a moment of silent prayer. Joe Dana from our sister station in Phoenix was there for tonight's heated debate. It's a story that's new at 10.
Look, every city council member here tonight expressed their disagreement with Satanism, but they say they had a dilemma. Rewrite prayer practices to prevent a Satanist from praying here on the 17th while also making the city vulnerable to a lawsuit, or take away public prayers altogether and avoid lawsuits. Preventing a Satanist's prayer, a reason to celebrate for some members of mainstream religions,
is a victory on our city.
But for others, the vote, a defeat.
That's what this whole thing is about, really, political correctness. And you know what? Trying to take God out of everything.
It was an all-or-nothing approach. In the end, the council voting for nothing, led by Mayor Greg Stanton.
Not even 2 years ago, the justices on the Supreme Court, including the conservative justices Roberts and Alito, stated clearly what the Constitution demands of cities like ours, that when it comes to prayer, we can't discriminate against minority or unpopular faiths.
Beginning tomorrow, no prayers will be allowed to open city council meetings. Instead, moments of silent prayer only. Council members relying largely on advice from the city's attorney. Councilman Sal DeCicco, the most vocal opponent of the measure.
Because I want to give you hope. I want you to walk out of here knowing that this is not going to stop tonight if we lose this vote.
But several council members had harsh words towards DeCicco, who suggested that supporting a moment of silence was to advocate for Satanists.
And when my colleagues attack us and my faith, that's very personal.
That was Joe Dana reporting. The councilwoman who sponsored the moment of silent prayer rule said she didn't want the city paying out $500,000 in legal fees and lawsuits when there are more important issues to deal with.
I love the waterworks.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, from what I understand, they did some pretty personal attacks.
Oh, really?
It wasn't about the Satanist. Uh-huh. It wasn't about the moment of prayer or the moment of silence. This is about the way the council members acted towards each other. They accused each other of so much crap.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Such jerks, right?
Yeah, because the way that clip sounded is like she was being attacked.
Well, she was. Other council members.
No, that's what I mean. It sounded like she was being attacked from the Satanist group.
Right, and that's not what was going on.
Well, kind of like false advertisement.
Well, yeah.
But no, I find it really sad and ridiculous that, you know, they're whining because they don't want to include an unpopular group, so they act like they're just being persecuted and, you know, we're taking God out of the courtrooms or either council rooms. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And what lengths they go to keep out an unpopular group, you could say. And you could pretty much stick any particular unpopular group in that place.
We have a little more on this because something came out today, which I was lucky to get a hold of.
All right.
Councilman Sal DeCicco, I got his name right. I want to call him DeCicco.
Okay.
said, this is what Satanist group wants. A moment of silence is basically a banning of prayer. It's to agree with the satanic goal to ban prayer. And he vows to take city prayer to a public vote.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's basically saying a moment of silence is like agreeing to Satanism?
Yes. That's what he said. And I got a little more on him in a second.
Okay.
And then Stu DeHaan is the leader for the Satanic Temple in Tucson. And he said this, all they had to do was let us do our 2-minute invocation and let us walk out the door. They were so willing to do everything they could to stop us. They pulled the rug out from under everybody.
Yeah, they pretty much did it to themselves.
And it's because they have a serious misunderstanding of what Satanic Temple is.
Well,
Tom and I talked about this a little bit last week.
Yeah.
But they're not devil worshippers. They're not Satan worshippers. They use Satan as a, what was the wording?
I don't know, but I think of it as more of like a means to the craziness of where they try to stick religion in, and they are the ones that kind of breaks the camel's back for the religious.
Right.
They would rather do nothing than to let them in.
Well,
you know?
Let's see what else DeCicco has to say.
DeCicco.
Bram, you wouldn't let ISIS come in and give a prayer at the city of Phoenix.
Are you comparing these guys to ISIS?
Well, ISIS is evil. What is Satan? I think most people would say that Satan is. If I were to ask your viewers right now,
that's over
no,
the top.
Satanists. They're devil worshippers.
No, they're not.
The epitome
of
evil.
Have you read what they said? Have you talked to them? Have you read what they said?
Do you really want to get into debate of what a Satanist is and isn't? I'm going to take them for what they say that they are. They call themselves Satanists. That is evil.
They do not call themselves devil.
Well, who is Satan? Do you really want to get in this, or do you want to get into more of structural things of what we can do to fix this thing?
Let's go into this.
Here's
the deal. You want to keep the prayer out. You're so determined to keep them out. This is where it ended up.
You were advised
that trying to keep them out would likely involve a lawsuit the city would lose.
Bram, they're from Tucson. They're a cult. They are not an organized religion. They're a cult. We have legal standing to be able to say that because they're not even from the city of Phoenix, we can ban them from doing
that. You were advised you couldn't do it because you could discriminate against them. They say they're a religion. You couldn't discriminate against them because it would invite a lawsuit.
Multiple attorneys outside of the city of Phoenix said yes, because they're from outside the city of Phoenix.
So there's a lot wrong with what he just said.
You think?
First off, they're not a cult. They're no more a cult than Christianity is.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Hello, right. What do you think Christianity is?
They're a legally recognized religion. They are
just as legit as they are.
Yeah. So, wrong there.
Yeah.
Two, they represent people that live in Phoenix. Just because there's no satanic temple in Phoenix doesn't mean they don't represent people.
Right, because that's usually how it works. You have someone come and do an invocation for someone in your group that is in that particular
city. Yeah, that's how I do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't just, you know, make trips to towns you have no ties to.
He compared them to ISIS.
Yeah, there's something.
That is pure ignorance on his part.
Yeah.
Absolute pure ignorance. And when
Pretty much everything he said was ignorance.
And when questioned on it, he refused to go into it because he knows he's wrong.
You get that time and time again. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Let's talk about something else.
Do you want to talk about something more of this, something more of that?
So, yeah.
And what I also find absolutely ridiculous is I go by what they say, their name, you know.
By what their name is.
No, he said, I go by what they say. And then he said, you know, there's a satanic temple. And then I'm thinking, you're not listening to what they say they stand for.
Several times.
They are saying correctly and clearly what it is they do. And yet by what words he just used, he's a hypocrite and not doing what he says he does, you know. The guy's nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, that's frustrating.
Anyways, let's move on.
All righty.
Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright attempted to shame young women voters at a Hillary Clinton campaign event into voting for Hillary.
I don't think it's just young women, by the way, that.
Albright served as a Secretary of State during the Clinton years. Let's hear what she had to say.
We can tell our story about how we climbed the ladder, and a lot of you younger women don't think you have to. It's been done. It's not done, and you have to help. Hillary Clinton will always be there for you. And just remember, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other.
Yeah, so all you ladies out there.
All ladies.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyways, all the ladies out there must vote for Hillary because she's a woman and no other reason possible.
That's basically what I got from that.
Yes, or in her words, she will send you to the worst place she can possibly imagine.
Right.
Because you didn't vote for the woman.
Now, I get what she's saying. I really do. That people should be supporting Hillary. And yes, she deserves some support, but not because she's a woman.
Well, that's my point. That's a horrible message. You do not tell a young woman to go out and vote for Hillary because she's a woman.
Right.
You go out and tell the young woman to vote for Hillary because of what she stands for. Not because she has a hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
And you don't vote for, you know, a president who's black because he's black. That's not what you do.
No.
You vote because of what they stand for.
No. Sanders was asked today his thoughts on what she said.
On what she said, yeah.
Well, look, I think that's an unfortunate statement. I think women should help women. Women should help men. Men should help women. Men should help men. That's what life is about. But we are now talking about electing the president of the United States, and people should make their decision based on who they think can do the job best.
Okay.
See, that's my point.
That's a lot better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I also like how he didn't address it towards Hillary really at all.
Right. He
addressed it towards the voters and how you behave as a voter.
Right.
And I have to say that is definitely one thing I really like about Sanders. He never takes it to the ugly when everyone else tries to pull him to the ugly.
Right.
And that's kind of cool and refreshing and wish more would be like that, you know?
Yeah, I'm hoping there's a change in politics coming.
I would hope so.
That even if he doesn't win, that he's made an impact on how politics works.
And how people are really getting tired and disgusted of it, yeah. You know? I mean, enough is enough.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on.
All righty.
Kenya atheist group claims bias after denied recognition.
Slower is better.
Fine.
Kenya
atheist group claims bias after it was denied recognition.
All right.
A new group of atheists in Nairobi are accusing the government of discrimination after the authorities turned down a request to register their organization. A group of 60 had applied for registration under the title Atheist in Kenya, but earlier this week they found out the registration had been rejected because of fears atheists would disrupt peace and order.
Seriously?
Yeah. And this is a quote from, who is the guy? Government lawyer is what it says.
Okay.
The interest of peace, welfare, and good governance would likely suffer prejudice.
Really?
Yeah. If they allowed atheists to form a group.
Okay.
That they would disrupt the welfare, peace, and good governance of Nigeria.
The only way that would happen would be by their own actions as to having an atheist group.
Right, which is what they're doing. So they're already destroying good governance.
Doing it.
Right. Harrison Mumia, the group's president, criticized the decision, saying the country has faced lots of insecurity, but none caused by atheists. And here's a direct quote from him. We're being discriminated against, although the Constitution allows freedom of association. Yeah.
Really?
Really. So here's my issue with this. This is what happens when you have no church-state separation.
Right.
In fact, Reverend David Guthanju, I think that's his name, said, our Constitution is clear on the issues of God. It's in there. It's part of the Constitution.
Uh-huh.
That's why we have to fight for separation of church state and keep it that way. Because
It'll
wind up like this.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just the thing. It's already there for us.
Right. We have that, but people want it to be more like this.
Oh, yeah.
I see this all the time.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. That's all they ever talk about. Think actually we already have it is what they think.
God's in the Constitution. It's on the Dateline. No, that's not God. that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully they get their recognition. They're going to keep fighting for it. I'll try and keep up with it. We'll see what happens.
So I find that crazy. That's got to be really hard to try and start a group like that in a place that already has their constitution laid out like that.
Right.
I mean,
Nigeria is a very religious country.
Yeah. And that's a major uphill battle.
60 people in the entire country.
Seriously?
Want to join this group.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That's a lot for, you know, a group that doesn't exist and in a country that really frowns on it and it has it in their constitution that it's almost impossible to put together, you know?
Right.
So I really hope they happen to make it. I mean, that's a serious uphill battle.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll try and keep an eye on that. I'll try and keep updates.
You're not talking to somebody else around here, are you? You know, this is me. You remember me? George Bailey.
All right. Time for the George Bailey Award.
It's a Bailey Award this week.
Yep. Justin Scott, a self-employed photographer and Iowa native, spoke to every major presidential contender and more than a few of the minor ones last week in the last couple months before the Iowa caucuses.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Right. He asked them if they support separation of church and state and why an atheist voter should vote for them.
Now, he asked this of each of them?
Each one. Oh, yes.
Well, that's cool.
Every single one of them.
That's cool. Yeah. I'd like to know the response.
So I have Rubio's response.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Atheist voter. Mm-hmm. I represent millions of atheists and non-theists around the country. One of the fastest growing voter blocks. And you said earlier that you want to stand up for religious freedom and all of that. My question is, for atheist voters that are looking for somebody that will uphold their rights as Americans and not pander to a certain religious group, I just noticed your recent ad. It mentioned nothing about policy. It mentioned nothing about ideas. And it simply talked about wanting us to follow faith and find God and go to heaven and things like that, which is fine for those people that align with you. My question is, how do you plan on upholding our rights and focusing on non-theists and You know, because there's talks in our community about you running as pastor-in-chief instead of commander-in-chief. So I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, first of all, as I said during my speech, you have a right to believe whatever you want. You have a right to believe in nothing at all. You most certainly have that right. By the way, I'm a Christian. I can't force you to be a Christian. Christianity is a free gift. We Christians believe that salvation is a free gift that has to be willfully accepted. You can't force it on you. So you have a right to believe whatever you want, and I congratulate you on believing whatever you want. Right. I'm going to share my faith, especially when I'm asked. Because my faith influences who I am in every aspect of my life. First of all, I believe you can't really understand America unless you don't understand. If you don't believe that Judeo-Christian values influenced America, you don't know history. I'm not saying you, I'm just saying in
right.
general. This nation was founded on the principle that our rights come from our Creator.
What? Okay, so let's stop there.
What? Are you? No, okay.
Yeah. So
okay,
obviously,
I have so many things to say.
Yeah. That's just completely wrong. You can understand the history without understanding it as Judeo-Christian history.
And is it just me, or was he preaching?
Well, pastor-in-chief.
I mean, give me a break.
Right.
If there's no creator, then where did your rights come from? And so that's why it's important for us to understand that. And we're going to protect the rights of Americans to continue to believe that. We're also going to have a country where no one is forced to violate their conscience, which means no one's going to force you to believe in God. But no one's going to force me to stop talking about God.
What a prick.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's asking him to stop talking about God. That's not what he's talking about.
Well, that's just kind of my point. He's not talking, answering the question.
Right. He's talking, I think, mainly about the Kim David issue. When they talk about violating conscience, they're talking about people having to do stuff for gay marriage.
Oh, God, no wonder I don't like him.
Or birth control or things like that.
But still.
Taking away rights of other people.
He's not answering the freaking question.
All right. Let's see if he ever does.
The church. I'm not going to force you to aspire or to espouse beliefs that you don't have, but no one's going to take away my right and your right to live out the teachings of your faith. No one. And I want to be very clear about something. Not only am I a Christian, and not only am I influenced by my faith, but it is the single greatest influence in my life. And from that, I'll never hide. And I'll tell you why, because I know that if I'm lucky, I get to live to be 85 or 90. Depending on what life expectancy becomes with all this new medicine. But I'm more interested in eternity and the ability to live forever with my Creator that you don't believe in, but I do. And that's what I aspire to more than anything else. One of the most, that's why I believe the most important job I have is the job of a father and a husband. More important even than the presidency. Because I only have a handful of years to teach and instruct my children with the right values, not just to allow them to succeed in life, but more importantly, to also achieve to be able to accept the gift of eternity. I believe that God, our Creator, became a man. And he came down to earth and lived among us. Suffered like a man would. Emotions, physical suffering, emotional suffering, pain, illness, sickness, sadness. And then he died. And he died to remove sins that we couldn't remove up to that point. They could only be covered, but they couldn't be removed. And as a result, I now have the freedom.
Okay, I'm totally going to fall asleep listening to him. It's like I'm in church all over again.
Hence the name pastor-in-chief.
But, okay.
So he is more concerned about his eternal life than he is about this life.
Well, and I was going to say.
He wants to be president. I don't think he should be president if that's his primary focus.
And he's still not answering the question. He's making it all about him.
Right.
And then on top of it, I love how he talks about wanting to live to 85 or 90 based on modern medicine, a.k.a. science.
Right. Well, he never does answer the question.
Oh, the whole thing? Are you kidding
me? It's more pastor-in-chief. I'm not going to submit our listeners to any more preaching.
No, because I'm totally going to fall asleep.
But he did ask other people stuff, right?
Okay.
He asked Ben Carson.
Okay. Oh, that'll be fun.
I don't have audio of that.
Damn.
But that's okay. I could have gotten it, but yeah. I like reading Ben Carson.
Oh, okay. Yay. Whoopee.
Fortunately, this is what Ben Carson said. I was going to say,
quoting.
Fortunately, our Constitution, the supreme law of the land, was designed by men of faith, and it has Judeo-Christian foundation. Therefore, it is no conflict there, so it is not a problem. If we create laws that are contrary to Judeo-Christian values that we have, then I think we should fight against those kinds of laws.
I think I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, that's Ben Carson.
It all sounds like the same crap over and over anyways. Yeah.
So, first off, it's our Constitution was
not.
Well, it was designed by men who have faith, but they didn't put their faith into it.
I was going to say, they made it clear
it does not
to
have,
keep it separate.
Right. It does not have the Judeo-Christian foundation. In fact, that phrase right there is absolutely wrong for even that time frame, because there was no Judeo-Christian concept in the 18th century.
Good point. That is true.
Okay. They need to stop saying that. They adopted that phrase in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, that's where it all went to hell.
Right. When, in order to bring the Jewish community around to the Christian concept, right. they were trying to adopt them.
Right.
Right. And it's just wrong. They right. should not do that.
I just, and he wants to run for president. I mean, these are the people who want to be in charge right. of the country.
And he wants to fight against laws that aren't Judeo-Christian.
Yeah.
As our president.
It, right.
Instead of holding up, upholding laws.
Well, that's he wants what to fight I'm saying. There are laws already in place, aka Constitution, that as the president, you abide by. Hell, just as a citizen.
Right.
I mean, first and foremost, that's what you plan to protect as yeah. the president.
Yeah.
Ugh,
so he also asked the Democrats.
Okay. Okay.
And he said this. Hillary took my question head on, citing that she supported how our government was founded. And Bernie said he stood for pro-secular values and thought we were facing many of the same struggles of our founding fathers.
Huh. I like that.
He said the only two candidates who ignored his questions were Donald Trump and Rand Paul.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me from either one of those two.
Exactly.
So Scott is a Waterloo resident, small business owner, and state communications chair of the Secular Coalition for Iowa. He said he would like others to better understand that atheists don't have a specific belief and thus are seeking to live without religion playing a role in it. Quote, we just don't believe in a supernatural supreme being, and we feel that Christian privilege has permeated our society when our government was designed to be secular.
That is correct.
That is correct. He also said he's been told no other atheists have taken this type of public awareness to his current level during previous caucuses. Now, while I technically agree with him there, he's not entirely true.
Uh-huh.
Because in 2012, the National Atheist Party did this exact same thing.
I was going to say, that rings a bell.
Yeah, we were doing it then. But yeah. The National Atheist Party is now defunct. It's gone.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, there was some major issues with that because people have too many attitudes and problems.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. And then he said, I thought for a long time about whether I wanted to put myself out there, but then I decided I could be an upset atheist sitting behind a computer, or I could be happy, friendly, and motivated voter who stands for something.
I like that.
I like that too.
Yeah.
Which is why I decided to give him the Bailey Award this week, because he's being really selfless, because he is putting himself out there in a dangerous situation.
Out in public, out front. And yes, it can be dangerous.
In crowds.
Yes.
Of highly religious people.
Well, and I can't, you know, I can definitely get that, because I have to say, with all the stuff we do and the things we go to, sometimes it, you know, makes me a little nervous, you know. Yeah,
this, it does.
You know, here's, you know, a crowd full of people, and we know who we are, and you never know who's out there, and
right.
the craziness that goes in their heads and whatnot. So, yeah, I totally, you know, kudos, totally.
Yeah, so my hat's
okay,
off.
Okay, now I sound like a valley girl. I'm starting to annoy myself.
Yeah, totally.
Anyways,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting started on the 80s.
So yeah, our hat's off to Justin Scott for doing what he does.
That's really cool.
Yeah, keep it up. I'd like to see this turn into a big national thing where you ask your local politicians.
Yes.
Yes. Because I write a letter to the Congress, to all the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I write one at least every election cycle.
Yeah. And I think questions like these will start coming up more and more with any election, whether it's, you know, for presidential or just local, because the atheist movement is getting so large and out there, and it's in media. I mean, watch television. You're getting more and more of it. Wars, you know, we never saw before on television, you know, and they're getting a better look at them, not in a stupid look.
Yeah. It's not the slightly weird person.
Yeah, that weird stereotype.
Yeah, it's not the shut-in. It's not the geek. It's normal people.
Or the quiet, scary person or whatever they used to, you know, show us as, you know.
So, yeah, keep it up.
Yes. Awesome.
And that's all the acting we'll have for you this week.
So, like, we'll hear from us again next week.
Yes.
Sweet.
Secular Yacking is a proud member of the Secular Outreach Network. Sun is a group of skeptical, secular, and humanist content creators collaborating with the goal of creating high-quality entertainment, and just maybe, to do some good along the way. Find out more about The Sun and the other shows that make up the network at secularoutreach.com. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.